De Maria nunquam satis. Of Mary, there is never enough. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. On October 31st of 1950, in promulgating the dogma of the Assumption of Our Blessed Mother in Heaven, Pope Pius XII wished to reaffirm in strong terms Mary's sovereign dignity. Yes, his tone was strong, severe, but the political situation of the world at that time certainly required it. At the dawn of the Vietnam War, witnessing in every corner of the earth the deadly symptoms of the Cold War, His Holiness, as a good and caring father, entrusted the whole world to the mother of the afflicted and the refuge of sinners, Mary. And so today, once again, we continue to commemorate the declaration of the dogma of Mary's Assumption into heaven, and place once again our whole person, our families, our schools, our parishes, all our endeavors under the vigilant protection and maternal care of our Blessed Mother, well aware of the many dangers that surround those chosen to fight in the ranks of her beloved Son. And as Pius XII wrote, weighed down by ever so many cares, anxieties, and troubles, by reason of very severe calamities that have taken place, and by reason of the fact that many have strayed away from truth and virtue. May the act of devotion to Mary be a worthy offering which you might receive and tenderly accept on behalf of all those who are far from the faith, far from the beauty of the truth, which, of course, shall set them free. St. Louis de Montfort, and I was blessed with the opportunity to visit his shrine in France a month ago with the group I took on this pilgrimage, and prayed, of course, for all of you, for our shrine there at the tomb of St. Louis de Montfort. St. Louis, in his total consecration to Jesus through Mary, recalls the three levels of devotion to her. The first level, which consists in living a good life by avoiding mortal sins, in acting more out of love than out of fear, and cultivating a simple form of devotion to Mary. Certainly a source of many graces for souls, this form of devotion, however, remains somehow imperfect, since it lacks the zeal, the fire, that such a devotion should require. The second level of devotion, this time more perfect, consists in adding to the first form a deeper and more direct devotion to Mary, particularly through the recitation of the daily rosary, through the reception of the scapular, and all other sacramentals. St. Louis says that this devotion is good, holy, and praiseworthy if it keeps us away from sin, but it is not so perfect as the next. And that last form of devotion is indeed more perfect, as we willfully, freely accept to become slaves, yes, slaves of Mary. Now, the word slave today certainly has a very negative connotation. But if we look at the etymology of the word, and if we put it in the perspective of Catholic spirituality, it now takes on a whole new dimension. The servus, the slave or servant in Latin in ancient Rome, referred to those captured during wars and battles and whose master had complete ownership over them. But it also refers to serf or serfdom, which differ from slave or slavery in the sense that it was a condition of debt bondage, and in the Middle Ages, serfs couldn't be bought or sold or traded individually, but could only be sold together with their land. So in this particular perspective, we now see how through our baptism, we have been in the world to serve as servants in the vineyard of the Lord, and His dominion extends to all aspects of our lives. However, in refusing to serve Him, we would lose all spiritual benefits, rewards, merits, and all shall soon be taken over by the father of lie, the devil. There is no compromise possible, and the fruits of our lives, the spiritual land we own, that little piece of Christ's kingdom which was entrusted to us on the day of our baptism, will give fruits 100-fold if we remain servants of God and faithful sons of Mary. Only the King of Kings can give to our spiritual goods an eternal and infinite value. As we said, servus, which also refers to those captured during wars or battles. And so how true is that in our days, when a terrible battle is waging before the sons of light and the sons of darkness? I cannot but think of the beautiful Panis Angelicus by Franck César, and the doublet, or that repetition of the Pauper, Pauper, Servus et Humilis, where in those three little words, the entire mystery of the Incarnation and of our redemption is condensed. What a miracle! The Lord becomes food, poor, a servant, and humble. Mary embraced her condition as the handmaid of the Lord, the servant, the slave of the Lord, the poorest of the poor, the servant of servants, and the lowliest creature, all the rich with the most invaluable treasure, Christ. And for that, she was assumed into heaven, body and soul, and there crowned as Queen of Heaven and Earth. The closed garden of the new Eve became an inexhaustible source of riches for the whole of creation. And the author of the Book of Wisdom to proclaim, "Then the Creator of all things spoke to me and made known His will. And He who created me rested in my tabernacle." When looking at the liturgical history of the feast, it's interesting to notice that prior to the proclamation of the dogma in 1950, the gospel chosen for that feast, which was of course already celebrated before it became a dogma, the gospel chosen was this surprising and well-known dialogue between Mary and Martha in St. Luke. In choosing this passage, the church wished to establish a close parallel between Mary, sister of Martha, and many spiritual authors and fathers of the church have identified this Mary as also the Mary Magdalene, the parallel between her and our Blessed Mother. Yes, indeed, she has chosen the best part. And we, preoccupied with too many worries, too many things, are left to our worries and anxieties. What other options for us then? That of turning the eyes of our souls, the attention of our minds, and the will of our hearts to Mary, and to receive from her that peaceful look and tender reassurance in the stormy seas of life, which in turn shall encourage us to remain there at the foot of our Lord, like the Mary Magdalene. The Lord crucified, but the Lord of love. On this glorious day, let us pray to Mary with the confidence that she will not leave us orphans, in this valley of tears, but that in due time, a time known to God alone, we shall reap the fruits of a faithful life and receive from our Lord this message of deliverance, victory, and peace, faithful and prudent steward or servant, whom the Master has appointed over his family, over his goods, over his land, to give you your measure in due season, in due time. Enter into the joy of your Master. Amen. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.